How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm thankful you tuned in to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse number 37 is where we left off last time. Our Lord has gone from over in the region of Capernaum, across the Sea of Galilee, to this place of Gadara, the place of the country of the Gadarenes, it says. There's this man that's there in the tombs that when Jesus arrives, he tells the demons in the man to come out of him. That man bows down before the Lord, and there's a dialogue between the demons and the Lord Jesus. They beg him that he'd not send them out into the deep. They request of him that he send them into the hogs that are feeding there near. I believe it tells us in other places in the Gospels that there was 3,000 head of these hogs that are there. The demon says that his name is Legion because there's many. The Lord had asked him his name. And we see here once again the knowledge of the demons, that contrasts with the knowledge of men that men have about the Lord Jesus Christ. And, it's a shame. It's a shame that mankind doesn't know more about the Lord Jesus, his deity, who he is, than the demons know. And so these demons are totally submissive unto him. They know he has power over them, and he does allow them to go off into the swine. They go down into the sea. They're all killed. They're all drowned. Those that are keeping the swine go back and tell the folks in the city what was done, and they come out, and it's a sad thing. Their reaction is indeed a very sad thing. But the Lord is merciful. Praise God, the Lord is merciful. And we look to see that here in the passage we're dealing with today. They come, the city, those of the city that have dealt with this man, he's there in the tombs. No doubt they looked to bind him, and he had been bound with chains and fetters and would pluck those asunder. The scripture says he would break out of them easily. No doubt when they had a funeral or someone to bury, they had to deal with this man because this is where he lived, was in the tombs, always naked, until Jesus came to this place and healed him. And when these people come from the city, they see this man in his right mind. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus where there's no better place to be. And they, having been afraid of him in the past, are now really afraid of him. And how can this be that they would be afraid of a man that is there in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus, and he's clothed? Then we pick it up in verse 37. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him, that is Jesus, to depart from them. How sad. They had tried to have an answer for this man for no doubt years, and whatever time it was, and they had no answer for him. One comes on the scene that does have an answer for him. He doesn't need to be restrained anymore. He's sane. He can be dealt with. He can be talked to. He's there clothed. He's there hearing the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they want Jesus to leave. It's just sad. For they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. And so the Lord Jesus does as they say, but here's where we see the mercy of the Lord. Even in being rejected, our Lord is merciful indeed. Now the man, verse 38, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, So this man says, I want to go with you. I want to be with you. And anybody that's saved, that's what they want to be. They want to be with the Lord. They want to be near him. But the Lord sent him away saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. So he tells him, he says, you go back home and you tell the wondrous things, the wonderful things, the great things that God has done for you. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. See, the Lord Jesus told him, go tell what God has done for you. And this man went and told what Jesus had done for him. And you know it's one and the same, because the Lord Jesus Christ is God. He is God indeed. God the Son, come in the flesh. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. So Jesus goes back. He goes back at a later time, and the mercy of the Lord, even though those people rejected him, the testimony and witness of this man over the course of time, the Lord used to soften their hearts and give them understanding about who Jesus is and what he had done and the wonderful salvation that is. And they were ready to receive him when Jesus came back unto them. What a blessing. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he's back at Capernaum, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. Verse 41, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him, begged him that he would come into his house. So Jairus is here. He's a ruler of the synagogue, and he's begging Jesus, I need you to come to my house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. So the people are looking to get close to Jesus, as it has been in the past. They want to be near him. They want to hear him. They want to touch him. They want to see what he does. They want to see the miracles that he does. And as they're going to Jairus's house to help, he's seeking help for his little 12-year-old daughter. She's dying. The people, the mass of people is just incredible. And a woman, verse 43, having an issue of blood 12 years, which has spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, that is Jesus, and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was staunched. And so this woman had suffered something a malady of this issue of blood, and she's been dealing with this thing the same time that this little girl has been alive. She's been dealing with this malady, this illness. She's been to doctors. She's been to others. And nobody can help her. She has spent all of her money trying to get relief of this thing. She sees Jesus and understands Jesus is coming. And she works her way through that throng of people. I mean, she had to have really pressed and shoved and worked to be able to get up there. She comes behind the Lord Jesus and just touches his garment. And she felt within her that blood, issue of blood was staunched. It was stayed. She was healed of it. Verse 45, and Jesus said, who touched me? The Lord sees Jesus says, who touched me? When all denied, I didn't. Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? He said, everybody's touching you. Everybody's jostling up against you. As we cut through this crowd and these people that want to be near you, everybody is coming in contact with you. How can you ask who touched you? Who touched you? Jesus said, verse 46, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. He says, somebody has touched me. They've touched me in faith because there's been power that has gone forth from me. That's what that virtue is speaking about. There's a healing power that has gone forth from me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, She came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And so the woman knows that they're in search. Jesus is, from the human standpoint, is in search of this person that has touched him in faith, the power that has gone forth from him to heal her. And it's revealed that it is her. She comes trembling, and she worships the Lord and falling down before him. And she tells her story. I've had this issue of blood for 12 years. I've been to physicians and others that have not been able to help me. And I knew if I could touch the border of your garment, I would be healed. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And of course, we understand that in the scripture, whenever this of faith and believing and trust in the Lord is mentioned, it's talking about him. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith, if you will, in me hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And so the Lord being so gracious and so merciful unto her, her faith in the Lord, her faith in his ability to do, not in her ability to do. She said, oh, if I can just get to where I can touch him, he'll take care of the rest. If I can just get to where I can touch he's that powerful, he's that able, that if I can just touch him, as others have had, he will heal me. And he did. And while he yet spake, verse 49, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. So the Jairus is from his household. There's one that comes and says, it's too late. She's gone. Your little girl, your little 12-year-old daughter, Jairus, is dead. She's gone. Don't bother the master anymore. It's too late. Too late. But when Jesus heard it, he answered and said, answered him saying, fear not, believe only. And again, we say, believe in me only, and she shall be made whole. You trust in me. You don't fear, but you rest in me, and she'll be made whole. She's dead. And the Lord declares this unto this man. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, weep not, she's not dead, but is asleep. And they laughed him to scorn, verse 53, knowing that she was dead. I mean, they'd held the mirror over her nose, they'd listened for her heartbeat. And indeed, she is dead. The Lord's not naive and understanding, but here's the thing. Look how Jesus speaks about death. To him, it's sleep. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she rose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat, give her something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. This little girl's dead. They all know that she's dead. The Lord has told her father, said, fear not, believe only, and she's going to be whole again. They go in there. The Lord said, don't weep. She's not dead. She's asleep. They laugh him to scorn, knowing indeed that she was dead. She'd already started getting cold. And he puts them all out, except for the parents and some of the brethren, and says, maid, arise. You know what she did? She arose. The Lord says, give her something to eat. And then he charged her parents, don't tell anybody. What do you think? Do you think that they could refrain from telling anyone? Indeed, they would be hard-pressed to refrain. Hard-pressed indeed. But the Lord's working is such that he wants men to hear his word. That's the design of the Lord. That's the intent of the Lord. It's for men to hear his word and not to believe because of the miracles. Well, see that our time is long past for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.